بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, every now and again, or there are certain moments and there are certain times wherein our homes undergo some transformation. The home undergoes some change. The home undergoes certain alteration, and so on and so forth. And one such moment and one such time when that happens is when we are expecting a guest. When we expect a guest, we know what happens within the home. There are preparations that take place within the home. There are certain changes that are made to the home. The home undergoes a cleaning process, even at times, depending on the guest. If the guest is someone of prominence and someone who is really important to us, then the preparation will be in accordance to the position and in accordance to the level of the guest that we hope to host within our home. You want the home to be comfortable. You want the environment in the home to be conducive. You do not want that guest to experience any discomfort in your home. You would like that guest to be happy. You would like the guest to feel comfortable. You want the guest to have a good experience. You want to be the best of hosts. And most importantly, you want the guest to leave that home feeling good, feeling honored, feeling happy, feeling positive, having good things to say about the time spent within the home. And that is something we are accustomed to. That is something we are familiar with. That is something we experience all the time. In a few days' time, we are going to be receiving a very, very important guest. And that guest is the guest of Allah, who will come into our home in the form of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a very important guest. Hence, our preparations within the home will have to be of such a nature that will make the guests feel honored and will make the guests feel comfortable, and the environment will be conducive to entertain that guest. And most importantly, when that guest leaves and goes back to Allah, that guest must go back with something positive to say. That guest must go back feeling honored. That guest must go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good word and with good impression before Allah azza wa jal. Now, previously in our pre-khutbah talks, we have been focusing on different ways of preparing ourselves for the month of Ramadan. In our first pre-khutbah talk on this topic, we spoke about the importance of the spiritual preparation, a month wherein we prepare ourselves spiritually, because it is a spiritual exercise and a spiritual marathon. Hence, there must be sufficient spiritual preparation in order for us to gain maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan. In the second pre-khutbah talk, we spoke about the importance of mending our relationships and ensuring that we enter the month of Ramadan with a clean heart, a heart that is not soiled with bitterness, a heart that is not soiled with ill feelings, a heart that is not soiled with hatred, enmity, jealousy for another Muslim. We enter into the month of Ramadan having mended our relationship with all our relatives, with all our family members. And now, the third talk on this topic is with regards to preparing the home and making the home conducive for the month of Ramadan, which is just as important as the other two preparations that we have spoken. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to the month of Ramadan with many different titles. And the reason why he had selected these titles for the month of Ramadan is so that we may develop certain characteristics within ourselves. So we find that the month of Ramadan has been referred to as Shahrul Quran. Shahrul Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. The month of the Quran, we know it to be the month of the Quran, the month that experienced the revelation of the Quran, and not only was the Quran revealed in the month of Ramadan, but every divine scripture. So it is a month of revelation, a month that experienced and witnessed the revelation of every divine scripture, whether it was the scrolls that was revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam, whether it was the Zabur that was revealed to Dawood alayhi salam, the Torah revealed to Musa alayhi salam, or whether it was the Injil that was revealed to Isa alayhi salam, every single divine revelation that took place in the month of Ramadan. So it is Shahrul Wahi. Let's not call it Shahrul Quran, but let's call it Shahrul Wahi, the month of divine revelation. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it as Shahrul Barakah, a month of Barakah. Barakah is divine goodness that emanates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is enjoyed in the month of Ramadan, divine energy. It is a month packed with that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it Shahrul Sabr. It is a month of patience. In other words, a month wherein you are going to work and you are going to strive to develop within you this quality of patience and tolerance. It is Shahrul Sabr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called it Shahrul Muwasat, the month of sympathy, the month of caring, the month of sharing, the month of expressing affection, sympathy and love and compassion towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the topic of our pre-khutbah talk, and that is making the environment within the home conducive for receiving the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Ramadan. Now there are so many things that we can speak about and so many different preparations that we need to ensure takes place within the home. Yes, very often we find that when they talk about Ramadan preparation, the focus is on the food. And that's generally with every guest, right? Every guest, the first thing, when you invite a guest or when you are expecting a guest, perhaps most of the discussion, most of the time, and most of the money that is spent on the type of food and the quality of the food that is going to be served to the guest. It's amazing with Ramadan, that Ramadan is a guest that does not want any food. Ramadan is that guest that is coming to your home, but the last thing the month of Ramadan wants is food, or anything to do with food. So, which means what? You wish to, one of the rights that the guest has over you. We know that there are rights that the guest has over us. One of the rights of the guest over you is to accommodate and to provide the guest with whatever the guest wishes to have. That's ikram. We call it ikram. You don't serve to the guest what you want, but you serve to the guest what the guest want. Unfortunately, many of us are receiving Ramadan and we are serving to Ramadan and we are displaying to Ramadan what we actually want for ourselves. It's not about impressing Ramadan. Very often it's about impressing, and it is about fulfilling and satisfying our own demand. Now, we should not, or I'm not encouraging that we should not at all prepare. But let not most of the focus be on something that the guest is not expected or is not expecting from you. So when we speak about preparation within the home, the first thing you do, or perhaps one of the very important things, is we wish to remove anything offensive from the home. You don't want your guest to come into the home and feel offended by something. You don't want the guest to come into the home and find something that is displeasing to him or displeasing to that guest that you have invited into your home. So perhaps there's something within the home that you would normally display openly, but because the guest is coming, you will ensure that that will not be displayed openly. Why? Because that guest might find that offensive. So firstly, let us look within our home. What is there within our homes that this guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might find offensive? Something that will have a negative impact on our behavior during the month of Ramadan. And there are certain things perhaps within our home, certain elements, perhaps certain things that we read, certain things that we listen to, certain things that are displayed within the home, certain things that we have developed an attachment with that is not conducive to the entertainment and to serving the guest of Ramadan. And one thing I would like to speak of, and something that has become the new craze and a new addiction within our communities and within our societies, and something that has trapped many Muslims, it's a net. And they refer to it as a net as well. Netflix. Something that has netted and has trapped many of our Muslims. Unfortunately, today you find sometimes the discussion amongst the youngsters, and especially amongst the women folk, the discussion is all about Netflix. What's the latest program released on Netflix? What's the latest series released on Netflix? And hours are spent watching or viewing the content that is promoted and that is on display on this particular facility. So this is one thing, brothers. It has really netted us and has trapped many of us to the point where some are losing sleep over it. Some are losing family time over it. Some are prepared to even forgo certain aspects and certain acts of deeds and righteousness because of it. Time is being wasted on these type of things. If we have perhaps subscribed to Netflix, or we have a Netflix account or whatever it is, I don't know how it works, let us unsubscribe. Cancel that subscription before the month of Ramadan. Take this message back home to whoever is at home, that the month of Ramadan is a guest. Let us cancel those subscriptions. Whatever subscriptions we have, whether it is Netflix or whatever else we have out there, let us cancel those subscriptions, preparing the home and preparing ourselves to welcome within it the month of Ramadan. And like this, this is just one, perhaps one craze out there that I felt we should speak about directly. Sometimes we don't know how damaging that could be to our progress in the month of Ramadan. And sometimes, time and again, we have to highlight it and we have to speak about it and address it directly so that the seriousness of that can be understood and can be recognized. And like that, perhaps our social media, the amount of time we're spending on social media, what we are viewing on social media, and whatever else might be out there, these are things that the month of Ramadan, the guest of Allah finds very, very, very offensive. So let us ensure that we completely divorce ourselves from any such social media platform or any such programming facility that could be detrimental towards our progress in the month of Ramadan, and that the month of Ramadan, the guest of Allah will find offensive. And for this, to achieve bringing about a conducive environment within the home, it requires the family to come together. Think about it, when you are receiving a guest, there's not only one person who contributes towards the preparation. The husband, the wife, the children, they distribute the the responsibilities amongst themselves. One will take care of this aspect. The other will ensure this is in place. There's planning. There's a strategy. They're strategizing. Why? They want to give the guest the best time of his life. So everyone is involved in preparing the home for receiving the guest. The same should apply to a greater extent when it comes to receiving the month of Ramadan. Get everyone involved. It should be a family effort. So the wife is involved, the husband is involved, the children are involved. They all are involved in making the environment within the home conducive. And this is what the Muslim home is all about. There was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Dahdah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the verse of the Quran was revealed, مَنْ الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ. Allah says, who is out there who will loan Allah a handsome loan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply the loan for him, referring to charity and spending in the way of Allah. Abu Dahdah, when this verse was revealed, he found it strange. Allah is asking for a loan. Allah is independent. Allah is the provider. Allah is the sustainer. Allah is asking for us to forward a loan to Allah. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, have I understood this correctly? Can you unpack this for me? What does it mean? Is Allah asking me for a loan? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, Allah wants a loan for you. Allah wants a loan from you, and Allah will multiply it and give it to you in return in the best of forms in Akhirah. So Abu Dahdah, look at this. Subhanallah. The reality and the conviction, the certitude that he had with regards to the deal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was offering. So he said, O Rasul of Allah, I have an orchard. This orchard is my prized possession. Within the orchard, I have 600 date palm trees, fruit-bearing date palm trees. I have surrendered this orchard to Allah. My prized possession, I have surrendered it to Allah, and that is my loan that I have forwarded to Allah. Allah has asked for a loan, and I hope in return for it, an orchard in paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this contribution from Abu Dahdah. And as Abu Dahdah walked away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so amazed. He says, I can only imagine what vineyards and what orchards and what garden Allah will give Abu Dahdah in return for the orchard that he has given to Allah and surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Dahdah proceeds towards that orchard that he had given to Allah. As he approaches the orchard, he notices his wife, Umm Dahdah, and the children are having a good time in the orchard. He stands outside the orchard. He doesn't want to step inside the garden or inside the orchard. Why? It no longer belongs to him. He has given it to Allah. So he does not even want to step into the orchard, and from the outside he shouts out, Ya Abad, Ya Umm Dahdah, Ukhruji. O Umm Dahdah, leave the orchard. Come out of the orchard. Take the kids and all of you come out of the orchard. I have surrendered this orchard and I have given it to Allah. It no longer belongs to us. Now imagine you go back home after Jummah. And you tell your wife, honey, our beach flat, if I have one. Our beach flat, I've given it for the sake of Allah. Right? We no longer have that beach flat. Or whatever it may be. That investment of mine, I have surrendered it to the will of Allah. It no longer belongs to us. The point is preparation for the month of Ramadan, making the home conducive for Ramadan, okay? Getting rid of Netflix from my home, getting rid of everything offensive to that guest of Ramadan is going to take what? It's going to take a contribution from every member within the home, making it conducive. So he shouts out to Umm Dahdah. What does she say? She says, Rabbi Hal Bay, oh Abu Dahdah, you have struck a most lucrative and profitable deal with Allah. And immediately she starts getting the kids out. Some of those kids had dates in their mouths. She said, spit it out, it doesn't belong to us. Some of them had dates in their pockets. She said, take the dates out from your pocket. We have surrendered it to Allah. together that family walks away from that orchard, the family, commonality in interest, doing it as a family, having the same objective and purpose, and they walked away from that orchard, surrendering it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the hope that in return Allah will give us something, not just the hope, the belief and the conviction and certitude, that in return Allah will give us something in return. The point? Making the home conducive for the month of Ramadan, receiving the month of Ramadan is going to require a contribution from the husband, from the wife, from the children, collective effort in order to make that environment conducive for the guest of Ramadan, just like there is a collective effort when we receive every other guest within our home. Commonality in interests. Everyone on the same page. If we are all not on the same page, and one is moving in one direction, the other is moving in an opposite direction, there are going to be extreme levels of friction between the two. And then, the environment will be an unpleasant one in the home. One is sitting with the Quran, the other one is sitting on Netflix. One is sitting with the Quran, the other one is sitting on Facebook. It doesn't work that way. There must be commonality in interest, both on the same page. Not both on Netflix, both on the Quran. That is how we are going to make most of this guest and honor this guest and serve this guest in such a way that when the guest leaves your home, think about it, it's leaving your home and going where? Going to Allah. And he's going to present his experience before Allah. Ramadan will tell Allah, oh Allah, this home honored me. Oh Allah, this home dishonored me. Oh Allah, this home took care of me. Oh Allah, this home made the most of me. Oh Allah, while this home had no time for me. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, commonality in interest, brothers. Very, very important to make most of Ramadan. Get everyone on the same page. Allah has given us, as menfolk, some position of influence. Allah has given us a position of influence. And that's a great power that Allah has given you and I, as menfolk. While the woman, Allah has given her the power of providing comfort and solace. That's also an amazing power and strength Allah has kept within the mother. She is the source of comfort. She is the source of sukoon. She is the source of peace within the home. Whereas the husband, he is the main influencer within the home. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala is hungry. Asaba Ali al-Khasasa. There's no food at home. He comes to Fatima. He says, oh Fatima, go to your dad's house. Go to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask him if he has some food for us. Perhaps he has some food. We can have it. We have nothing to eat. She wasn't living too far away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almost right next door. So she comes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a very subtle way, she puts her request before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, Ya Rasulullah, inna al-malaikata ta'amuhum at-tasbihu wa-t-tahleelu wa-t-tahmeed. Fama ta'amuna. O Nabi of Allah, the malaika, the angels of Allah, their source of nourishment is subhanallah. Their source of nourishment is la ilaha illallah. Their source of nourishment is to say alhamdulillah. What is our food? What is our source of nourishment? Rasulullah SAW understood that Fatima has no food at home and they are both starving at home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O Fatima, you have come to the door of the wrong man. 3 days have passed, I have not eaten anything. This is not Ramadan. This is the daily experience in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The daily experience in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is not asking us, Allah is not demanding that from us. That level of sacrifice where we go hungry for days, Allah is not demanding that from us. What is Allah demanding from us? Allah is demanding from us that we pray our 5 daily salah with jama'ah in the masjid. Allah is demanding from us that we stay away from that which displeases Allah. We do that pleases Allah. That's what Allah is asking from us. This was the sacrifice that they were demanded to give in order to build the foundation upon which we can continue the building of Islam. And that we and you and I can enjoy. So Rasulullah SAW says to her, listen Fatima, there are 5 goats that I can have arranged for you and have it sent to your home. Now look at this, it's called tarbiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making the tarbiyah, nurturing Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and teaching her what to give preference to and how to prioritize when it comes to things of dunya and akhirah. He says, O Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, I have those 5 animals, I can have them sent to your home. But I can also teach you 5 words of praise through which you can make dua to Allah. What would you like? The 5 goats or the 5 words of praise? She says, Ya Rasulullah, teach me the 5 words of praise through which I can praise Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, that say these words, Ya awwal al-awwalin, wa ya akhir al-akhirin, Ya dhul quwwati al-matin, Ya rahim al-masakin, Ya arham al-rahimin. When you make dua to Allah, these are very, very powerful words of dua and tasbih and praise through which you can have your dua answered. She learns that, she memorizes that, she goes back to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What is Ali waiting for? He's waiting for some food, or he's expecting some food, right? And she comes to Ali, and Ali says, Ya Fatima ma wara'ik. Oh Fatima, what have you brought? What do you have? Is there any food? Is there something to eat? She says, Oh Ali, I left from you to get something of the dunya, and I came back to you with something of akhirah. Now think about the first incident, how the wife responded to the husband. They were both on the same page. Right? We'll give it up. We'll give up the orchard. It's our most prized possession. We'll give it up. Why? We're on the same page. We both want something in akhirah. Yeah? It's the opposite. Fatima is proposing something to Ali. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How does he respond? He says, Khayra ayyamik. You have brought back something of the akhirah. Rather than something of the dunya, this is the best day of your life. Commonality in interests. Both husband, wife need to be on the same page, especially when we are preparing our home for the month of Ramadan. To receive this guest, think it. Just, I'll end on this analogy. Just imagine you have a guest coming into your home, and you both have different views on everything. What to have on the menu, how to receive the gift, how to receive the guest, how to honor the guest. The two of you have different views on every aspect. The guest will have the worst time of his life in that home. The home of a Muslim must be such that we honor the month of Ramadan in a way that is conducive to that month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to witness the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us and give us the ability to take maximum benefit and derive what is best from the best month of the year. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.